Now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreensworld.com, for more information about her guests.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Saturday, and welcome to Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST. It's the merry month of May. Happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful mothers listening out there, and hope your loved ones are making it a very special day for you, because being a mother is one of the greatest gifts and greatest challenges on the planet. It's a 24/7 opportunity, and I know some really, really impressive mothers, one of whom is actually going to be live on our show in about just a minute. So that's really great. I'll be hearing it for Colleen Crowninshield. So, Kay, very impressive guest today also, in addition to Colleen Crowninshield, from the W Hotel in San Francisco, Mr. Michael Pace. Incredible accomplishments to share with us. And I cannot wait to really have him share with you some of the things they've done at the W in San Francisco. It's actually, I mean, talk about early adopters and cutting edge. He's clearly a leader in the industry. Please let me mention that I would love for you to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. You can visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com to see what's happening in the world of sustainability on a global and a local scale. This show today is sponsored by Tucson Electric Power Company, and I do have a green tip. Once a month I do that. It's not too late to think local for Mother's Day. If you're out buying gifts, if you're driving in the car, if you've got a plan, think locally owned business. Mine is Mayfield Florist, and they sell organic flowers, locally owned chocolate, go to locally owned stores, and eat in a locally owned restaurant, because that's the community that supports us. And this tip is sponsored by Horizon Moving and Storage, and guess what? Another locally owned business. Okay, moving right along to one of my favorite mothers, Colleen Crowninshield. Hi there.
Hi there. How are you today?
I am great. And how are you?
I am wonderful. I'm planning out a dinner tonight for my son's godmother. So we're on rehearsal for Mother's Day.
You're on. And it's just, you know, I wrote a lot about this week about family is really all about sustainability. I mean, it's what sustains me. So love that part. And let's talk about clean cities. Let's talk about, you've got some exciting things going on in solar. I wanted to ask you about what's happening. I read an article in the paper about imports being down. So is that affecting getting the leaf in? So you roll, babe. What's going on?
It is. It is actually affecting it. But, you know, with all the disaster that's happened in Japan, we got to give it to them and really just be patient. We do have some leaves that have been affected. They're not rolling in as fast as we had hoped. But you know what? We've got the infrastructure starting to go in, so, hey, the infrastructure will be here before the car gets here, so we're okay with that, too.
Which will be really nice, and I think it's important. Nobody really in Japan wanted the tsunami to hold down business.
No, they didn't, and I got to tell you, you know, we just have to keep our hearts out to them and just say, you know what, whatever, however long it takes, it's okay, because we're here pulling for them. So.
I'll be a little patient. And then what about in the solar world? What's happening? I know you have a solar tour tomorrow on Mother's Day.
We have a solar tour going on tomorrow, and it starts at 11 o'clock at the old Fort Lowell Chapel. So, you know, we're going to go to the chapel. We're not going to get married, but we are going to go to the chapel.
And
we're
I'm not going to sing that
tour.
Song. My kids will kill me. Okay, so that's, and what is, tell people about the solar tour. I know where the chapel is on Fort Lowell's historic district.
Well, it is. It's in the historic Fort Lowell district, and there are actually four or five homes there that have solar on them that have been there for some time. And so, you know, we're going to go and we're going to let people take a look at how that solar is working on those homes and, you know, get a feel for what it's going to cost them to put solar on their homes. So, you know, it'll be a good time. We got a few refreshments and just really kind of an education for the general public on solar and how they can
nice
put solar
that families,
on their homes.
Yeah, something nice families want to do on Mother's Day. And, of course, being Mrs. Green, I think it's a great family activity. Let me ask you this. With the solar partnership, I know a lot of people ask me about who I would recommend when they're considering solar, and I have my favorite, and I'm very open about it. I really vetted them. I love Geo Innovation. I love George. I love all of those people over there. I love Rachel. So what's you, as far as your role with the solar partnership, do Do you do any vetting of businesses for business practices, or is everybody in the solar partnership just a member? Is that not your role to help people?
You know, we have something new that we've just started. It's called the Southern Arizona Solar Standards Board, and George, of course, is on the board, and they are a part of the board. What this board is doing is really holding solar installers to a higher standard of installation and really some best practices for those solar installers. And we've got quite a few right now that are a part of that. But, you know, just really getting the education out to the general public is what's really, really important. We've got some great companies right here in Tucson who have been Tucson companies for a long time. So they've got a lot vested in this community. So we really want to support those companies. And not that we don't want others to come in, but we really want, a standard to be out there for these solar installers.
We have to be more careful. We have to be more careful as consumers. And I love that you're developing that board for standards. And I get a little bit worried about, you know, the eco-friendly carpetbaggers, as I call them. They're in here and they're out of here. And I think there are great national companies, but listeners, beware. Just do your homework.
And I'll tell you what, with solar especially, Gina,
yes.
Because right
yes.
now we've got a lot of companies out there who are promising a lot of payback that we're not seeing. So
right.
we really
right.
want consumers
right.
to beware, do their homework, and look at those companies like Geo Innovation. George is a great guy, and Technicians for Sustainability. They're great people. They've been here a long time.
I've had them on the show as well. They're just really good people. And you look around the community, and their name is associated with all of their doing. Terry D. from the Habitat for Humanity Habistore, his solar went live yesterday. And even in my Rotary, a man stood up, a friend of mine, and talked about having solar installed on his home, and his bill last month was $7.
Can you imagine?
No,
I can't.
Imagine? Mrs. Green doesn't have her solar installed, so no, I cannot imagine.
We're going to work on you, Gina. We're going to help you, and we're going to work with you.
It's going to happen. So you've
all
got
right.
the solar walk going on, you've got the Nissan Leaf, and you've got the stations coming. So I think the infrastructure will put a lot of fear out of people. And they'll know that they can run on a battery and absolutely make it around town to the next station. So they're part of understanding what's really happening. How do people find you for questions?
You know, they can look me up on the internet. It's my website is www.pagnet.org. All of our contact information is there. Solar Standards Board is the SASSB.org. So, you know, they can find us there and just give me a call. I'm happy to help. That's what I'm here for.
I think that's great. And I just want, you know, for listeners that were not listening when we interviewed Ed Begley Jr. from L.A., that Colleen actually sent us a picture of her receiving the award for the Clean Cities Coalition of the Year from Ed Begley Jr. So I'm going to try to figure out how to get that put up on Facebook. Colleen,
right.
Happy Mother's Day. Proud of your contribution to the community, proud of what Clean Cities Coalition is doing, and that you're one of the top in the country. And have a great, wonderful day. Thanks for calling in.
You too. Thanks, Gina.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Take care. That was Colleen Crown and Shield from the Clean Cities Coalition and also the Solar Partnership. And please stay tuned. We have a wonderful guest, impressive Michael Pace from the W Hotel in San Francisco. Stay here with me, and you are going to find out what he is up to, and you're going to love it.
790KMST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World News Talk 790KNST. Happy May, happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers listening out there. I hope that your loved ones are making it a special day for you. It is, of course, one of my favorite days of the year, and I miss my mom. So we interviewed Colleen Crown and Shield from Clean Cities on a local scale. Now we're going a little bit global. Michael Pace has some incredible accomplishments. He's the general manager of the W Hotel in San Francisco, which has an unbelievably distinguished honor of being the first LEED certified hotel of its type, of a major brand hotel in the world. So, Michael, welcome to Mrs. Green's World. Thanks for calling in on a busy Saturday.
Well, thank you, Gina. I appreciate the time to share with you today.
Yeah, you're quite passionate about the environment. You're a Google heavenly reward for somebody like me. You're content rich in terms of what we can cover on the show today. So let's get started about how does a decision to get a Starwood Resort, basically, How did you move that entire machine forward to say, let's go for LEED certification and then end up with silver? What was the process for that, and how challenging was it?
Well, you know, it actually started as literally as a grassroots movement because, you know, we're just for people who are listening in, you know, W Hotels is one of nine brands within the Starwood organization. We, you know, we have over 1,000 hotels in 100 countries, so really a global organization. And as you can imagine, a lot of structure built around that to manage our growth.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So to go green without a sort of a corporate mandate was interesting for us. But what we did was I actually had a group of my employees who literally petitioned me when I joined the hotel 4 years ago to go green. Like they had heard what I had done in my previous life. So we literally just said, let's do something internally in the hotel. Let's see how far we can go as a team in greening the hotel from the inside out. And so literally in, you know, about 3 years ago, we got together, we created our green committee and began chugging away and, you know, kind of greening different areas from energy efficiency to water. And then at one point I realized we really should be going for a good certification just to see how good we are. What's the benchmark? You know, you can't just kind of keep changing things
right
without having an ultimate goal. And I knew that LEED was the most difficult to get, so I said, okay, let's go for LEED.
Let's go for the hardest, climb the highest tree.
Yeah. But, you know, Gina, what I figured was this. I said, look, if we go for LEED certification, there's all the questions in the surveys. So by default, if we're not doing something, we'll know what's missing.
Right, right.
And if we're doing it already, at least we can say, hey, great, we're doing it. And so it was like an internal test. And cut a long story short, we went to the list initially and realized we could actually get LEED certification by, you know, just tweaking what we're doing already. And a year and a half later, we got our certificate.
That's really and truly impressive. What were some of what would you say, the outstanding features and some of the biggest challenges that you faced? Because it is a national standard. So you have to adapt to that and then adopt practices. So what were some of the big stumbling blocks or the things that may have been the hardest to change?
Well, a couple of things. At the very beginning, first of all, it was quite pricey to actually hire a certified architect, what they call an AP certified architect,
right,
who could lead us through the process. So what I did there was instead of forking out, I got quotes for up to $200,000 to do this work. I actually reached out to the Presidio Business School that does an MBA in sustainability in San Francisco.
Awesome.
And I reached out to the faculty and I said, I'd love to have a couple of students work with me as a great project. How cool would it be if they worked with me on the project of LEED certification? And that could be on their resume that they certified or greened, you know, this big hotel.
Outstanding. Okay.
So that was a fun project. So I hooked up with a couple of students.
And, brilliant.
They were AP certified because it's a mature student program. And that's how we did the program. We put it together as a partnership with the students and, you know, got going. I would say the most difficult part of it is really figuring out the financials and how much money are you willing to spend. Spend
right.
to get to, you know, energy efficiency in particular.
Now, one of the things that I want to add about that, this was a very impressive statistic that I heard recently at a meeting. One of a very big business here, they're the top accounting firm in the city, and they have a very big building, and they invested in solar when they put on. There were a lot of incentives here through our electric company and statewide from the Corporation Commission, and they put solar on their roof, and they are seeing a 40% reduction in their utility costs. So as businessmen, not just businessmen and women, but accountants, they were touting the success of between the incentives and the long-term impact on their electric bill. That's a huge saving. So have you begun to realize any of the savings as opposed to just what the costs were?
Oh, yes, we have. We looked at solar, just to kind of get, you know, kind of go back to that one. Our footprint, the hotel is actually in downtown San Francisco. We have
right.
400 rooms. The total square footage for the entire building is just under 500,000 square feet. But it's actually on a very small footprint, being a downtown property. So
right.
our roof is actually pretty small, and there just wasn't the space for solar panels to give us the economy of scale.
Right, which is one of the downsides to solar still, which I think we'll overcome in our lifetime, but I get that. I totally get that. You have to have the place to put it.
Mm-hmm, that's true. So the next thing we did was I was lucky enough that the mayor of San Francisco at the time, about a few years ago, Gavin Newsom, had put together an urban wind task force. He wanted the city to come up with policies and regulations that would facilitate and encourage businesses and residences to put wind turbines on our roofs in the city. And I was lucky enough to be part of that working group. So one of the things I was really interested in was putting wind turbines on the hotel. And that was a big push for me, not so much to save substantial amounts of energy, but more to showcase what would a hotel or a business look like with wind turbines.
And right, right.
You know, and can we encourage others to get over the initial fear of a turbine on your
right,
roof?
Right, right.
So that's still one of my pipe dreams, quite honestly. But really, the way to save energy, we're doing a lot of things internally, which are kind of like the invisible side of sustainability in a building like ours. The energy efficiency, the variable frequency drives on our air conditioning unit, or changing out the pumps on the chillers and so on. The things that guests don't normally see but save us huge amounts of money.
Right.
We're seeing an average of between 8 and 16% reduction in our energy bills year over year.
Well, that certainly adds up, even with the size of the hotel that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to know about within the industry and within the city. I mean, San Francisco, to me, is a beacon of their early adopters, leadership and sustainability. They had the whole Ban the Plastic Bag initiative that made national news. What type of recognition is there within the city that's already eco-conscious from the people that live there and from the California building, the hotel industry? Have you been recognized for this outstanding leadership? I know I'm pretty excited and want to come visit.
Yes, there's a number of initiatives and recognitions in the city, and especially in California. On the city side, there's a very aggressive green business program. That's a certification program that we're part of as well. And so there's a recognition through that. There's also a state recognition called the Grand California Green Lodging Program, which is a program that encourages state government travelers to stay in green certified hotels. And we're at the leadership level for that. And then the California Hotel and Lodging Association recognized us 2 years in a row as being the greenest hotel within the organization across the state. So there are awards and recognitions, but quite honestly, for me, it's not even about that. For me, it's about really kind of figuring out what's the right thing to do. I work for a big corporate organization, a great structure, and I think it's wonderful to be able to show that you can really have heart and soul and a passion for something that is genuine, and be able to balance doing good for the planet and also having a fiscal responsibility, you know, as a general manager of a hotel to my ownership group. And that's what really gets me excited.
And little do people know, I mean, this is what I want to interview in the next segment. I want to talk about you and your background and leading to that. And it's very interesting you bring that up, because we had a team meeting yesterday, and Mrs. Green has gotten some awards lately, and we could submit for some others. And quite frankly, that's our conclusion of our team was, we're not doing what we're doing to impact the globe for awards. We're doing it to make a difference and to get the word out about sustainable practices. And all of that takes time. And from reading your background, the integrity and the big global view you have of shifting the planet was clearly what motivated you. It doesn't take long to read about your background and come to that conclusion. That being said, there are other hotels that will follow suit because of the visibility that the W got. Agreed?
Absolutely. And that's actually one of the things I like to do. I'm lucky enough to be invited, you know, to speak at either green conferences, or I talk a lot to the students at university in San Francisco as a guest speaker. And that's one thing I always say, is I want to share everything that we're doing. Because, you know, two good results, I think. If I share what I'm doing, and I'm genuinely passionate about it, so I do want to share it. If another hotel thinks we have a good idea and they mimic us, then two things. One, they're stroking our ego, because it's always nice to be copied, right?
Right. Everybody likes that. Yeah. Imitation is the highest form of flattery. I don't care who you are.
Exactly. We need a little bit of that sometimes. And so if somebody's copying or emulating what we're doing, then great. We've been able to share good practice that now a second, third, fourth hotel might take on board, so they get greener. And then by default, because I'm a little bit competitive as well, that would propel my team and I to sit down and think, listen, everything that we've been doing is now becoming mainstream. What else can we do? What's the next thing that we can do that we're not thinking about yet that really would have truly a positive impact on the way we conduct our business? And you kind of keep yourself on your toes the whole time that way.
I love it. I love it. It's the good old, it is competition, the healthy competition of how you can raise the bar. I love it. It just absolutely makes me chuckle. Mm-hmm. So we are going to take a very short break. We are talking to Michael Pace, who is the general manager of the W Hotel in San Francisco. Incredible accomplishments. It's the first LEED certified, silver LEED certified major brand hotel in the world. So stay here with me. We'll be right back. We're going to find out more about Michael, and we're going to find out more about his employees and about what the new restaurant that's opening up. Mrs. Green goes mainstream. News Talk 790 KNST. Check us out at MrsGreensWorld.com, and we'll be right back.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST, also live streaming at KNST.com. And please don't forget to visit me at MrsGreensWorld.com. Sign up to follow me on Facebook and Twitter for everything that's going on that's exciting in the world of sustainability on a global and a local scale. Our guest today is calling in from San Francisco, and my heart is there. I had to add that Courtney line because I've left my heart in San Francisco many times. His name is Michael Pace. He is the general manager of the W Hotel in San Francisco. So many exciting things, Michael, not just about getting silver certification, LEED certified, but I want to make sure that we talk about Trace, the new restaurant. But let's talk about you for a little bit. I don't ask this a lot anymore, but with your story, since you are an industry leader on a global scale, what led to that? Was it, you know, your mom and dad being sustainable? Did you start reading? What led to the position that you're in now of people watching what you're doing in terms of bringing green mainstream?
You know, I get this question asked quite often, and I still don't know exactly how it started, quite honestly. But, you know, I grew up on the island of Malta, which is a little island just south of Sicily.
I have been to Malta.
It's a great little place.
Oh, my gosh, it's magic. I cannot believe you were born in Malta.
Yeah, I was spent half my life there, and then I went to hotel school in England, and I kind of traveled around before landing in San Francisco about 16 years ago. And really, it wasn't until I got to San Francisco that I began, you know, being very aware of, you know, seeing a situation with homeless people and the copious amounts of garbage that we're producing at the hotel. And I kind of looked at the two at the same time period, but separately, and I just felt, I was here in America, I was living the American dream, you know, running my first little hotel, 90 rooms as a GM. And I thought, one, I need to be part of a cleaner city, and then two, we need to take care of our community. So I just began investigating how I could reduce the amount of items that I was throwing away. If they could be reused, let's reuse them. And then what could I do with, you know, things like leftover food and give them to food banks and so on. And that's really what triggered it, really, was just an appreciation of how lucky I was to be in that situation, living in San Francisco and seeing the world around my beautiful hotel not being as beautiful maybe as on the inside, you know, with regards to homeless and so on. So the city has great programs for homeless people, and I was able to partner with a lot of organizations. So it just started that way. And then over the next few years, I really began realizing that I was becoming a very consummate recycler. And it's kind of like a game. The more you recycle, the more you want to do.
It's true. It's absolute. We have that going on in our family, even for big parties. Okay, can we do this whole party and have less than one big, mm-hmm. you know, even a small trash can of garbage? So,
yeah.
Yes, you're right. You want to outdo yourself.
Exactly. So, and that's what I did. And then about a year later, I was moved to a different hotel, a little hotel called the Hotel Triton in San Francisco. And it had one floor of eco-friendly rooms, so about 15 rooms out of 140. And every time I talked to guests, they would always say, we love your eco rooms, but they're never available. You're always sold out, and you should have more.
Interesting.
And so I thought, you know, I met with my team. I said, listen, if the guests are saying we need more eco rooms, let's do this. And this was in 2003, where it really wasn't ramping up yet,
right,
you know, this
right.
whole movement. And so we just decided to quietly green the hotel on the inside. And within a year, we got state recognition from California Lodging Association. And that kind of triggered the whole concept of let's take this from one hotel to 42 hotels. It was part of a group of hotels called Kimpton that I worked for. And I mean, within a year, I became the director of environmental programs, which I thought, I'm not qualified for this. I never intended this to be. And my paycheck says general manager. You know, right. And now here I am. I'm trying to green 42 hotels across the nation. And, you know, just being one to never say no to a challenge, I embraced it and was pleasantly surprised at how quickly people, you know, the employees and the managers latched onto it and said, yeah, this is the right thing. It feels good. Let's make it happen.
And that what gets me really excited about that, I believe that that's where consumers are. I believe that that's where people are. And industry in many different areas, they're the ones that are dragging their feet. And their employees want it, and people as consumers want it. And it's the first time in my lifetime where I think consumers, in many cases, are ahead of the market. Every hotel that I've stayed in recently, the Arizona Biltmore up in Phoenix and Royal Palms and even the one here, Westin La Paloma, Ventana, all of them have very, very prominently displayed brand recognition issues, you know, things posted about why they're eco-friendly, why they're eco-conscious, little signs, little green leaves. I mean, it's just you want to know you're staying somewhere that's really alive and aware of what's going on in the environment. So that's really a great story. I mean, no kidding. So you went from there, got buy-in from the staff, and then here you are at the W trying to move maybe at a bigger machine, the Starwood teams, that's big, and making lots of progress in that. So in your personal opinion, is this the direction the entire industry is going that you see in your background?
Yes, absolutely. So two things happened when I, you know, the last few years. One was, as I mentioned earlier on in the show, we began greening the W kind of internally, just kind of under the radar, if you will. We just wanted to see how green we could get it. Because one thing to also keep in mind, Gina, is the W brand is very iconic. If anybody kind of looks at our website, they're very modern, contemporary.
I call it hot and hip and for my daughters, because I stayed in one in New York, and my husband and I felt like we should be in wheelchairs. I'm barely kidding. I mean, it's very much, it's hip, it's gorgeous. It's definitely a signature series of hotels. I absolutely agree with that.
Well, thank you. And so that's a lot of fun, and we're very brand focused. We want to make sure that there's a true brand identity that stays true to itself, because especially in a competitive marketplace, there's a lot of mimicking going on. And some hoteliers feel if they throw a lot of fancy, you know, hot-looking furniture and bright colors, they think they have a lifestyle hotel. And they don't. And at W, we got it right 12 years ago when we created the company. And we're very focused on making sure that we're not trendy, but trendsetters. So as I was greening the W, I was very aware that the first thing I needed to recognize was that everything that we do has to fit into, you know, the brand identity, because that's what the guest wants. So we decided early on that we wanted to have a hotel with a green conscience as opposed to a green hotel.
Unbelievable. Love that. I'm writing it down. I love it. Love it. Okay, a green conscience. Okay.
Yeah, and the big difference with that is if you walk into the W today compared to 4 years ago, nothing looks different. You cannot tell. And that's my biggest compliment. If somebody says, hey, you got lead and it looks the same as it did 2 years ago, like, exactly, because people come and stay at the hotel primarily for business or leisure needs, but they're here because they want to stay at a W.
Right, right.
And if we focus too much on sustainability, then you detract away from the true experience the guest is looking for.
So it's subtle and it's integrated.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, for example, if you stay at the W and you have a glass of wine at the bar, you might not even notice or need to ask for it, but 98% of our wines are organic or biodynamically grown.
I love it. Love it.
It's not in your face. It's, you know, it's not showcased everywhere. It's just subtle there. The bartender will talk about it if you're interested or not. So little things like that. You know, the same with the lighting. We can't put compact fluorescents everywhere and make it look like a hospital ward.
Right.
You know, so your bathroom might have the bright light that you need, you know, to have ample lighting next to your vanity, but next to your bed, you can have a dimmable incandescent for now until we get the right LED that works for us.
And I think that is making a lot, there's a lot of progress in that area, rapid progress.
Yeah, it is.
I do. I think
We're testing about, I don't even know anymore, probably 10 to 12 different companies have LED lights with us that we test in our hallways and some guest rooms, really trying to figure out which one is going to be the magic one.
Right.
We're looking at it, you know, with a great passion.
waiting for the light bulb to go on. No pun intended. Okay.
We are. I mean, LEDs right now cost about $45 each. And with rebates, you can get them down to like 10 or 15, depending where you are. But there's still no guarantee that they're going to be as good as they're being touted. So.
And that really affects your bottom line. I know we're going to go right past the CFL stage, I believe, and go to the LED lighting. So
Yep. Talk
about, you have something called the World Program, which mm-hmm. you started. I love the fact that you have your employees participate in Save the Bay. And I think you should talk a little bit about that, because to me, stewardship is not just what you're doing at the W. It is about, it's always about community base and creating sustainable communities.
Right.
And you're doing that also. You're not operating in a vacuum, and you're, you know, on your location.
Right. And quite honestly, putting in low flow toilets and CFL bulbs is very unglamorous.
It really is.
Right?
But I love to talk about toilets. Because
nobody gets goosebumps.
Waste a lot of water.
Yeah, no one's getting excited with goosebumps when you talk about, you know, CFL bulb.
Nobody. You're right.
But when you look at what you're doing internally in the hotel and you translate it into nature, you know, 20 miles from the actual building that you're in, it has an impact. So we did partner with Save the Bay. It's a nonprofit local organization that's mission in life is to expand some of the salt pans in the southern part of the bay primarily and return them back to their original wetland status. So we've been partnered with them for about 2 years, and we have adopted an area the size of our hotel, 500,000 square feet, and we go there about four times a year. I rent a bus, a big tour bus, and I get about 40 or 50 of my managers and my employees, and we go out there. We take a working day, and, you know, we've got shovels and pickaxes and whatever, and depending on the season, we're either pulling out invasive plants, or we're putting in native plants, or we're cleaning up the debris. And, you know, one, it's really great to have everybody literally covered in dirt working together. People really bond
totally.
And connect. It's great team building.
Doing something great, right?
Yeah, and then they come back and they appreciate it. And then we look at it and we say, look at these 25 bags that we picked up of plastic bottles and debris. This is why we recycle in the hotel, guys, because every bottle that we recycle doesn't end up in the bay like the one you just picked up.
Okay, we've got to go to another quick break. Everybody, please stay here with me. Michael Pace, impressive guest calling from the W Hotel in San Francisco. We'll be right back with lots of more information about their new exciting restaurant that they're opening and why it's great to be green.
News Talk 790 KNST.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Green's World News Talk 790 KNST on this day before Mother's Day in the merry month of May. Happy Mother's Day if you just tuned in to all those mothers. And the one thing I can tell you, everybody has one to make sure you thank yours, because I think Mother's Day, it's just one of my favorite days of the year. I miss mine, and my kids have been great already in helping me celebrate the absolute joy of my life of being a mom. Talk about what sustains me. Unbelievably impressive guest today, early adopter. It's one of my favorite terms. Sees things 5 years, 10 years, 15 down the road, and sets things in action to make the world a better place globally by building a local sustainability platform. And then all of a sudden, you're an outstanding global leader. Michael Pace, thanks so much for tuning in from the W in San Francisco. So can we talk a little bit about Trace? And I love the name, because to me, I have no idea how you thought of it, but it's like you're not going really leave a trace of what you're doing. And to me, it's another concept that is cutting edge. You want to focus on the localist lifestyle experience. And so can you tell us a little bit about all of the excitement around this new restaurant?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're actually going through a major renovation of the public areas of the W Hotel in San Francisco. And we realized that as part of our sustainable program, wouldn't it be fun to take, you know, the food and beverage experience and take it to a new level? We have an amazing executive chef who has been with us for 6 years, who already does a lot of things on sustainability just because that's the way he is. He's a local surfer, so totally respects anything coming from the ocean.
Awesome.
Yeah, has a lot of fun with it. So Trace was actually a partnership between the hotel and our corporate offices. You know, you were asking me earlier, how does this go from the hotel to corporate? Starwood is really focused for all our 9 brands to really take sustainability and make it part and parcel of the DNA of every hotel, so that it's not just an individual thing, but it becomes part of a corporate DNA. If you will.
Right, right. And I love that. I love that.
Okay. Yeah, so Trace is a little experiment to really take what we're doing already and kind of really put a stronger seal on it. And so the word Trace actually was, you know, we came to the word Trace because we thought, can you trace the ingredients back to where they came from?
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
and,
love it.
And that's how we came up with it. We're not leaving any traces. We're actually looking at tracing back the ingredients. And a lot of our food is going to be locally sourced, but not definitely. In other words, we don't want to be only local foods because we have an international clientele and people do want to have foods from different areas.
Right, right.
But can you trace it? Was it farmed sustainably? You know, were you respectful of your community? And by only having 3 or 4 ingredients in every dish, we allow you to really savor and taste those ingredients and back that up with a story that's going to be told to you by your server or by the chef, you know, connect the dots and understand where your food came from and be wowed by the amazing taste.
And it's really, you know, what I call socially responsible eating. I mean, I'm trying so hard to shift that in my life. And I was brought up that way because that's the way things were done. We had a local butcher and we just went to farms, literally. I mean, it was so different back then. If something wasn't in season, we probably didn't eat it, but it wasn't talked about either. It's like, oh, we're not going to eat asparagus. I would never eat an asparagus anyway. But we didn't have them if they weren't in season.
Yeah.
So, but ask, can you talk a little bit about the, like, my biggest thing that I'm on right now is the cruelty-free raising of animals, and is that going to be looked at? And I don't want to put you on the spot, but to me, that's a part of where we need to get to if we're not already there.
Nope.
There's a lot of options here now for, you know, I eat meat, and I want to make sure that it's cruelty-free raised.
Yeah, that's a great question, Gina, because that's one thing we look at as well. You know, being part of a global organization, we do have, you know, relationships with some of the hugest suppliers of food, of course, because of the sheer volume that we go through.
Right.
But Trace has kind of allowed us to be an experiment, if you will, to look at, you know, how deep can you go into looking at, for example, like you said, you know, how are the chickens raised, you know. And we can tell because we go to Petaluma. We go up, you know, up into the country here in Marin County, and we look
right
at the farms, and they truly are free-range chickens, you know, not just a pretty picture on a carton box. Or Neiman Ranch, where we get our meats from, or so on. So when you talk to the farmers and when you see where the food is coming from, there's only one middleman who is local as well, you're in a much more controlling position to make those decisions.
Right.
So absolutely, we are working closely on the meat side and the chickens, the eggs. And then even on something like coffee, for example, everyone's been talking about coffee prices going up. We just actually made a decision as of last night. There's a local coffee roaster here called Equator Coffee. They have amazing fair trade shade-grown coffees that they import from different parts of the world.
I love it.
But it's a business that's been started by 2 women locally, and I thought, what a great partnership. Don't go with the corporate mandate. Go with a local business. It's female-owned. It's a startup. Their heart and soul is in an amazing cup of coffee as well. Is it a little bit pricier? Yes. Should we just absorb the cost and make it a decision that's based on principle as opposed to profit margins? Yeah, and we made that decision literally yesterday.
I love it. And they're hearing it first here in Mrs. Green's world. I love that.
Yeah, I'll tell Helen I mentioned her coffee company.
Please do, and I would love to. We'll be in touch with you about a link so I can put something up on my Facebook page. I have a really active Mrs. Green's World Facebook page, so I'd love to share that with everyone.
Absolutely. So Trace is literally that whole story, tracing the ingredients, tracing the story. Chef and I have already been talking to local farmers, and we've been telling them, listen, when we work with you, when heirloom tomatoes are in season, we'll have menus that are completely based on your tomatoes. Would you like to come into our restaurant and actually talk to our guests and tell them exactly how you grew that tomato and really give it a human connection?
And people love that. I mean, they really, really do. To me, we're in the time of the conscious consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to really make it like there's going to be a lot of local personality of the Bay Area.
Yeah.
In terms of your focus, were you trying to increase your reach to locals or provide that local experience for your world clientele?
A bit of both. We, you know, San Franciscans love to go out and eat, and there's always.
I know.
You know, it's amazing, the capital city of restaurants,
I
think, and very creative.
I believe that.
But one thing, Gina, I noticed is it's a a lot, respectfully, it's a little bit easier to own a restaurant and go as green and as local as you want to when you're the boss.
Right.
When you're running, you know, a big hotel like the W and you're part of a huge corporation, it's not that easy. So this for us is an experiment to say we will not only be appealing to the locals who expect farm to table in San Francisco, nothing new, but they expect it. But do they expect it from a big corporate hotel? Can we do it in a way that really shakes up the industry and proves to people, you know what, you can have a big corporate hotel and you can still be as sustainably focused as a little passionate, you know, individually owned restaurant down the road.
And smashingly successful. That's what I'm going to hope. Is this the first experiment within the W brand for this kind of restaurant?
No, we've been working with our corporate people who put together Trace with us. We opened up a Trace at the W in Austin.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, and that's been a huge success. It opened up in November. So Trace San Francisco opened end of June, and we're looking at opening a Trace in Seattle.
Which is a perfect fit. Another place that there is so much eating out. They're the home of, you know, I'm a very big fan of Starbucks because of what they do with fair trade on a grand scale, and you need corporations that have such an, to me, a social conscience about what they're doing. Because I was always saying to people, you know, just drink in local coffee shops, which I do a balance of, but Starbucks can make a global difference just on sheer volume with their, you know, their sustainability practices. So
and that's important.
Great.
As I was saying earlier, Starwood has this great program. I'm lucky enough to be involved as a kind of an unofficial advisor with our global team, looking at sustainability across 9 brands, you know, in 100 countries, as I mentioned earlier. And it's experiments like this with Trace that really show that we're not doing it for the marketing or the PR. We're doing it because we need to do it, and our CEO, Fritz von Passion, recognizes that this is just the right way to do
this.
This
is the
business.
Right thing to do. Yeah. Now, what about, do you do anything? I see, and I mentioned off air that a lot of, you know, some of my bigger clients that are supporting the mission and vision of Mrs. Green's World, like Miraval, they are really putting an emphasis on a lot more local partnerships. They have such a global clientele, but they're working very obviously because it's the right thing to do, and they adopt a part of the highway. They're just an unbelievably great organization. Are you doing things to focus on people, just local stays, for example, where people can come in? Is there any effort on your part to get more of a, not just the fly-in guests and the business travelers, but a clientele of loyal locals?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Trace has a couple of ideas that we're experimenting with right now. One of them, for example, is that on a Saturday morning that our sous chef would go down to the farmer's market, and I'm going to tell him, okay, Alan, here's the deal. You've got $300 in your pocket in cash. Go to the farmer's market. Take some guests with you. We'll promote it as a package. So you go down with chef. You fill up as many recyclable bags as you can with whatever produce he decides to get. Call the hotel, tell them, listen, I found whatever veggies, and this is the menu we're going to create. And then literally that day, we will have a literally last-minute impromptu dish that will be based on the ingredients that we find that morning, and they'll be on your plate 2 hours later.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. I love it. And you can send out little tweets and put stuff on Facebook. That's the thing I love about social media.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're following someone globally or locally, you can find out, I'm here, and this is what's happening. I mean, I have friends that even do it for sales. Like, okay, big shoe sale at such and such. So it's going to be
a fun.
I know. You'll have a lot of fun. I just want to thank you so much, not just for being a guest on Mrs. Green's World, which I'm very grateful for, but for what you're doing to make a difference and the place from which you come, which is obviously all about making the difference, not making the splash. And I just want to just honor that, and it's such a joy being Mrs. Green, because I get to meet people like you that really get it, that we're not doing this for a headline or for a little line in the newspaper. We're doing it for a line on Mother Earth's planet. So yep. I will definitely stay in touch, and I hope you'll put something up on Mrs. Green's World Facebook page, or have one of your people send me an email so we can follow this Trace and what's happening with the W in San Francisco. Michael Pace, general manager of the W in San Francisco, part of the Starwood. Thank you so much. Happy Mother's Day. News Talk 790 KNST, Mrs. Green's World.
You've been listening to Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST, all about learning that going green can be fun. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and tune in next Saturday at noon for Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST.